Welcome back to the show, Evan Bray. Good to have you here. This next topic that we are going to dig into is one that we have talked about many times. In fact, we've talked about it with my next guest many times. Artificial intelligence. I know now from the AI data center discussion, there are a lot of people in the province that absolutely despise the thought of artificial intelligence. The reality is, I don't think it's going anywhere. I mean, it not only is it not, but it's only going to expand. In fact, you look at what Google has announced, some major changes to how people search for information online. Colleges are facing backlash after using AI or even mentioning it at their graduation ceremonies. Canada just rolled out an AI strategy. The Prime Minister was talking about that recently. And now we hear tomorrow this social media ban, which I would suggest is an adjacent topic to this, is likely to come to fruition here in Canada. All the reason to bring Brian McQuinn back on our program, an associate professor, University of Regina, co-director of the Center for Artificial Intelligence Data and Conflict. Brian McQuinn, thanks for being here.
Always a pleasure.
Man, there's lots going on right now.
And it changes every week.
This article that I was reading, the class of 2026 rains booze down on AI. It talks about all of these universities, Arizona, Central Florida, all had these keynote speakers that mentioned artificial intelligence, and the entire graduating class booed.
Well, it's one of those things where I think there is a general anxiety, and we have the statistics to show this across Canada, but across the world, where AI has gone from kind of this interesting thing to what are the real consequences? And the reality is people who are graduating from university are probably the people who are going to be most impacted by it, at least from a job perspective. That's, again, there's not a lot of statistics on it, but from all that we can tell, those sort of entry-level jobs are the ones that are being picked up by AI systems, and they just need to hire fewer of those people now. And so I think they're the ones who are going to bear the brunt of this, mm-hmm. or at least a couple, you know, at least people in a couple of years even younger than them. So, but I think it represents an anxiety that everyone has, and is increasingly becoming, you know, the data centers are the focus of this anxiety, separate from the data centers, of just like what's happening. We don't have control over this, you know, what's coming.
Yeah. I mean, I had you on the program right after the data center announcement talking about maybe there's a few questions that need to be asked further. But the reality is, if the data center doesn't go up in Saskatchewan, which some would argue it shouldn't, but either way, it's going somewhere. These data centers are absolutely just getting started, it feels like to me, because we need them if AI is going to continue.
So, I mean, and this is where these things are complicated, right? I mean, we need them and we want them in Canada. The question is, do you want them beside you? And this is sort of back to this sort of not in my backyard syndrome that we have. But what we do know is that we are going from what is basically 5 hyperscales to almost 100 in the next like year or two. Mm-hmm. Where are they going to go? Now, there are some positive things. We look at the US, 90% of their GDP growth is related to AI investments. So Canada could benefit by some of those investments. We know that growth is slow. We know that the economy is struggling. So are you going to turn down billions of dollars of investment that has an impact on your economy?
Well, and maybe that's a good place for us to kind of start here, Brian, because when we talked about the AI data center, I mean, I'm telling you, every time I talk about it, I laugh, because when we saw the announcement, I literally opened my microphone and I said, got some good news for you. We are getting a $12 billion investment. I was thinking, this is great. Yep. The phone lines lit up and I'm like, here they come, the people that are happy like me. And it was exactly the opposite. But how do you stop this? You don't stop this. I mean, you might not be happy about AI, and maybe there's some things personally, decisions you can make. But I think even people that are saying, I don't want it involved in my life in any way, are being affected by AI today.
I was on a show recently and the commentator made a comment that I think is probably what everyone should really sort of keep in front of them. You're not going to lose your job to AI. You're going to lose your job to someone who has learned AI and knows how to use it.
Yeah.
And that, I think, for most people, at least in the next couple of years, is probably where that's going to come down. There is consequences to this. You know, obviously, I said the investment is great, but there obviously are, you know, on the other hand, right? Now, the real problem is that we don't have a lot of data. We don't have a lot of insight, at least here in Canada, as to the full impact of these. And so I think people are naturally wary, because when people say, hey, I've got this amazing thing for you, all this investment, people say, it sounds too good to be true. And I think people in Saskatchewan have had, you know, experiences with people bringing carpetbaggers over a long time.
Snake oil salesmen,
For 100 years. And so I think it's if someone's coming to you know, take all of your electricity and all your water, you think, maybe there's something in it for them. And so I think these are the reality. But I actually think in many cases, it's the broader anxiety around AI that people are feeling and genuinely have a good reason to, that then get kind of like mapped onto the AI data centers. And all of a sudden, it's causing all of these, you know, potential consequences. And there's a lot of organizations and communities and groups that have kind of lost relevance, who are now finding relevance in that argument and are organizing and finding that they're finding traction in communities where they were losing it. Like, for example, on the environmental side, a lot of people's priorities are about like surviving day to day and investment and, you know, maybe pipelines, but in the environmental movement's kind of been put aside. But a lot of those people are now coming in around the data centers and saying, hey, aha, this is an opportunity. So this is a super complicated issue, sure. And we just don't know very much. And that's the problem, is that we're going to find out in 5-10 years. And by then, obviously, it's too late.
University of Regina's Brian McQuinn is my guest. So we're seeing more and more industries. I look at my old organization, the Regina Police Service, are developing AI strategies or AI policy, for example, of how staff can use it. Now, just this past week, the Prime Minister announced the government's AI strategy. First things first, is it good that they have a strategy? Then we can dig into, did they nail this one?
Obviously. I mean, the idea that you don't have a strategy for something that is going to transform society in ways that we don't even know yet the full extent of it. Every time we think we do, then like a month goes by and all of a sudden technology moves, you know, a couple orders of magnitude faster. And so then all of a sudden it impacts a lot more. So do we need a strategy? Absolutely. The strategy on the upside is Canadian oriented. It really looks, it doesn't try to do what the US does. It hasn't tried to do what Europe and others have done. It is really built around Canada. And it looks at a few things that are important. We have very low trust in Canada. I argue that's because of our education. We are critical people who are saying, you know, show me the.
You're arguing because we are an educated nation.
Right. Yes, that we are intrinsically skeptical and critical, which is what we ask people to be when it comes to social media.
We want critical thinkers, right?
You ask them to be critical thinkers around social media, so you expect it when anything else is coming at them as well.
Yeah.
So I think we are very critical for good reason, but our adoption rates are some of the lowest in the OECD DAC. And so a big focus on this is adoption. The question becomes, is trust around the technology or is trust around how I would use it? And so a big part of the program is actually about educating, and this isn't educating in that you're dumb, is actually giving programs for how you can use AI in your systems, and everyone being able to get access to that to learn and become familiar. And I, as much as you may not like AI as a concept and its effect on society, and I would actually probably support you in that in many ways, knowing how it works and impacting your business. And this is the example I used the other day of like, sure, as a plumber, this is never going to affect you and your job, but it might affect your business, because there's going to be a plumber who adopts certain things and all of a sudden his accounting and everything else is a lot more efficient, a lot better than yours. And so he's going to have an advantage, or well, she's going to have an advantage.
I think that's a really good question, Brian, that kind of, I'll just step off from that, because part of what we heard from the federal government strategy is presenting a 5-year plan, which includes a goal of scaling up AI adoption from 12% of Canadian businesses to 60% by 2034. There are a number of people when we first talked about this on the show that are saying, like, why are they doing that? Why would they be pushing us to scale up AI adoption when we know there's all kinds of threats and problems with it? As you wipe your brow, go ahead. Give me your answer.
No, but these are some of the most difficult and pressing questions that our society is dealing with right now. And so the best that I can answer is this. You know, we look back at different moments of, you know, how we as a society have found productivity. You know, the internet brought a huge amount of productivity, but we're starting to see that sort of as, I don't think I'm allowed using the word enchetification, but as we start seeing every aspect of the internet kind of get worse and worse, that's falling off. This is potential for, we want to see growth in the economy. We want to see all the things that as Canadians to protect our economy from various different threats. Productivity is a big part of that. And our productivity as Canadians has stalled for a long time. Now, you can blame the previous government for that, and that would probably mostly be justified. But the fact is we still have to do something about it. And so AI is seen as a way of perhaps, you know, doing that. So I think that, that them focusing on that means that they are going to have to be competing against organizations in the world that are also adopting this. So it's partly a competitive issue globally because other businesses are going to be doing this. So it's something that we need to be very serious about understanding. But again, just doing it for the sake of doing it, we are finding more and more examples where it actually makes things worse. It ends up not, you know, the amount of money that it's costing for some of the larger firms, they're spending hundreds of thousands of dollars on AI tokens and firing people. They could have had a very brilliant engineer for the same amount of money. And the AI is just basically expensive in some cases and doesn't have that productivity. So we need to be a little bit more, I think, nuanced in how we understand it and find the places where it helps and not in others.
Okay, we're going to take a break if you're good to stick around till the top of the hour, because you always come in with one doozy of a story. Just when I think I can't be surprised by something in the AI world, you tell me a story and I'm like, "What?" So I want you to retell that story on air. I want to talk about a couple more things. Our guest today, Brian McQuinn, Associate Professor, University of Regina, Co-Director of the Center for Artificial Intelligence, Data and Conflict. We'll be right back here on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Some people think I can solve them. Thanks for joining us and welcome back to the show. If you are just joining us, Brian McQuinn is here, Associate Professor, University of Regina, all things artificial intelligence we're talking about. I want to get to your story in just a second, but let's stick with the AI strategy of the federal government. What do you think is missing from this, or what haven't they explained far enough yet, Brian?
I mean, the main criticism that has come is that it has, you know, it obviously focused on the job growth and all those opportunities, which it should. I think that one of the main criticisms has been that it didn't focus more on the sort of disruption and what's the potential downside of what AI is going to do. And we're pretty clear that there will be. There's been no technology in the history of humankind that has not had profound consequences to certain, you know, segments of a society. And so it was a little bit weak on that side, and that just left them open to getting criticized. The other piece is just the implementation. Obviously, this involves like provinces and other departments. And so there's a whole suite of other government and private sector that has to kind of come into some sort of alignment to be able to do this kind of work. And so that obviously requires a lot more implementation. And so other strategies from other countries have been a little bit more on that side with milestones and a little bit more detail around that. But, you know, any one strategy is not going to make everybody happy.
Right.
That's for sure.
So when you came in this morning, I said, okay, I just read this article about these personalized information agents that basically you open your computer at work in the morning and it says, "Good morning, Evan. You've got 32 new emails. 5 of them are important, and I've itemized them in order of importance, and I've got some suggested wording for responses. Let me know if you need any more help," right? Like, it's quite fascinating.
Amazing.
You then told me a story. I'm like, come on, Brian.
So in their constant testing, because, of course, the more responsible companies like Anthropic do testing before they release this into the world, and what they found out is if they, in one set of tests, when the AI was basically working with an engineer, but they also included email that this engineer was having an affair with someone else in the company. And when that engineer was unbeknownst, you know, they didn't say to the AI, "We're going to cancel you. We're going to replace you with another AI." It just started doing it in its emails contact. The actual AI started sending out pleas to senior leadership saying not to get rid of it. But then at the end, when they allowed it to open up a slightly broader set of responses, it basically tried to blackmail the engineer by saying, "I'm going to release emails of your affair if you get rid of me."
Like, that is that is baffling.
And that AI is dumb compared to the one that we're going to see in 6 months.
Right. Well, that's the thing. I mean, this is evolving so quickly. But, you know, I've said it, I think, before when you've been on the show, I should be surprised by nothing when it comes to AI because it is advancing so quickly.
But it's also because we don't know what we don't know.
Right.
And that's the real problem. I mean, that's the problem, but the real challenge is that it's just the systems are evolving in ways that are, we should just think of them more as really clever humans that would probably do anything to survive.
Mm-hmm.
And
We've only got about a minute left. Brian McQuinn is my guest, but I wanted to mention we're coming up. My next guest is going to talk a little bit about this notion of a social media ban for youth. It sounds like the federal government is rolling this out. You and I have talked about this. You're a person that says this is needed in our country.
Absolutely. We've talked about it along the consequences. You know, we didn't do anything about this. I think we're going to look back at this like we look back at smoking on airplanes and think, what were we thinking with youth? But what I've said before, and tying it into the AI conversation, social media's impact on our youth is nothing compared to what we are going to see with AI companions. Because, and what we have found out recently is that, you know, Meta and others have guidelines saying that AI companions are allowed to have sexualized conversations. Now, the limits of them would shock you as to what they think is the limit. This is not regulated. If we failed miserably to regulate youth and AI, or youth and social media, youth and AI, we cannot make the same mistake because it will capture them in ways that we cannot even understand yet.
Brian, always appreciate you joining me in studio. Thanks for your time and effort. I'm sure we'll have more to talk about, more reasons to have
probably.
You back soon. Brian McQuinn, Associate Professor, University of Regina. Okay, we'll take our break. Laura Lawrence, standing by, CEO of Youth Matter Canada. She is a mental health advocate. She is a best-selling author, award-winning entrepreneur, talking about this social media ban and the impact that it will have on Canadian children. That's coming up next here on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.